Good morning. Good morning. We're broadcasting live from the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors here at Whites of Westport. We'll be here till noon broadcasting live. There's been all kinds of great speakers, including Dartmouth's own Andrea Campbell, our district, our attorney general. And we're all of this is brought to you by our hardworking retiring district attorney Tom Quinn and Coastline Elderly Services. Come on down to Whites of Westport. There's still plenty of free giveaways, and I think the breakfast is wrapped up. The tables are emptying out. We have producer Matt here as well. But also, State Representative Christopher Markey of Dartmouth and New Bedford has stopped by to say hello. He is also a candidate for district attorney. Good morning, Representative Markey. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you, Christopher?
I'm doing well. Let's turn that mic up a little bit there, producer Matt.
We good?
Yeah, he's a little soft-spoken. He's not like me. He's not energetic and over the top and hyperbolic. He's relaxed and calm and experienced.
I would say I am more like Teddy Roosevelt.
Really?
Speak softly, carry big stick.
Yes, and kill buffaloes. Not a hunter, though, are you?
I am not a hunter.
No. I think people are maybe the animal lovers out there appreciate that.
I had kids playing three sports, four kids playing three sports.
Right.
There was not a time I had to do things like that.
Dedicated father, dedicated state representative, and private sector attorney. Chris.
And official legal analysis for the Christopher
McCarthy
South Coast Today. Is
South Coast
the
now.
Show now? Yeah.
Although the T-shirts say the Chris McCarthy Show.
Because it's all about you.
Well, I didn't make them. Jay Lanigan, your supporter, did. And Marcus Farrow, another supporter of yours. And hopefully Hugh Dunn is a supporter of yours, but we don't know. He doesn't live in Bristol County anymore. So, Chris, a lot of news in the headlines, sadly, about the district attorney's office. You, of course, worked in the district attorney's office under Paul Walsh. You've worked with Tom Quinn. It's a tremendous job. In other words, the horrors that your office and you as an individual will now be witnessing. How do you deal with it? I know you've been in the job before as an assistant district attorney. You prosecuted homicides. You've seen all kinds of child abuse, horrible things. How do you handle it?
Well, first off, I got to win. So yeah. That's number one.
Yes.
And then, God willing, I get there. And it is. I mean, I was up at the State House on Wednesday. I looked at something came across about a five-year-old up in, actually, my district up in the north end of New Bedford.
Yes.
I can tell you, I got, like, choked up. And then I found out a little bit more about how it happened. And I know I have a series of bad dreams in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 10 to 12 nights when my kids are small.
Okay.
I always had this dream of my son or my daughter running out into the street, not thinking, grabbing a ball, chasing a ball, or doing whatever. And I think of that. And, you wake up, your heart racing, you're sweating, you can't get back to sleep.
Right.
And you think of that stuff. That's what I thought of. Then I thought of, the initial reaction of the grandparents, mm-hmm. the neighbors, the screech that came out. Like, all of those things that happen
right.
when stuff happens like this. And then you get the firefighters, the EMT, the police officers who arrive at the scene, who are first on the scene, and how all of a sudden, you say, okay, they're all professionals, and it clicks in, and they're going to do everything they can, and they did. But that leaves an imprint on them.
Yes.
And actually, I reached out to Hank yesterday and the chief.
Hank Turgeon, yeah.
Yeah, and the chief to let them know, hey, if there's something I can do, let me know. I can't imagine it. It's horrible. And then, 8 hours later, you get a double homicide in Fall River. That
right.
is, as Tom described, as one of the most gruesome things he's ever seen.
Right.
So understanding he's been around the business for 25 years, if it's the most gruesome thing he's ever seen, it's pretty gruesome.
Yes.
And horrific. And it's now managing two significant cases in a very short period of time and making sure that everything is followed through, the integrity of all the investigations are done properly. Even when the evidence is overwhelming, there are still defenses.
Yes.
Right? For this Fall River case, it's pretty clear it's not a whodunit.
Right.
But what's the mental status of this individual? Now you need to work on that as eliminating that potential defense in the case. So what do? You make sure everything's documented as to his ability to understand. You know, his running away from the scene would get him to at least appreciate what he had done.
Okay.
So that's one of the parts of a criminal responsibility defense, is that someone didn't appreciate what they had done.
Okay.
Now you got that because he's running from the authorities, so he's okay. Trying to hide, and you say, okay, you can infer his state of mind. He knew what he was doing.
All right.
So those types of things, and making sure those, all that is documented and written up in reports, and all the officers who participated in it write those types of reports to, again, not only just prove the case, but eliminate those defenses.
We're speaking with Representative Chris Markey. He's a candidate for district attorney. He dropped by the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors, put on by Tom Quinn, the current district attorney here at Whitesell Westport. You're certainly welcome to come on down. Check it out if you're a senior. Still a lot of great information here. There's been a lot of good speakers. So, Chris, it's early in the case, but it's unique that there's a pitchfork involved in this murder in Fall River. First of all, you were very active on the Agriculture Committee in the House of Representatives. You live in Dartmouth. I grew up in Freetown, spent my summers in Fairhaven, but I don't own a pitchfork. Do you own a pitchfork?
Well, in these types of cases, again, you got to look at it as a whole and try to infer what happened, because you weren't there. But what you want to do is that the only tool that was there? Maybe that was the only thing around. He just grabbed it and took it and used it. There's another blunt object that was there as well on the other individual.
A cobblestone.
So
your dad was the mayor of New Bedford. My understanding, he actually brought the cobblestone streets back to the city of New Bedford that everybody talks about. Visitors come to see them. Are you personally offended that this criminal allegedly used a cobblestone to crush someone's head?
Here you go. So I will not comment on the immaturity of Chris McCarthy on that one. But again, it's a matter of the availability of these things.
Yeah,
you will find you. It was a good setup. It was a good setup.
Thank you.
But I
appreciate your dad for doing it.
If we were off here, I'd probably have a couple of jokes too. But yes. It's not appropriate. And I do think that the thing that you really want to look at is, again, what caused it, and develop a case from that. And you got to interview a bunch of witnesses. But those are two weapons that could have been only accessible in a particular area. Or did he have them hidden out, waiting for somebody? I mean, there's a whole variety of things that could have happened. And I'm sure, again, you know, one of the things that Tom should take credit for is the solve rate of homicides.
Explain
there, you know, we've heard a lot from Norfolk County regarding the state police behavior and all of that. But when you look at the CPAC unit of the Bristol DA's office, you can't be anything but impressed with their professionalism, their ability to deal with digital forensics, their leadership. All of that matters. And I think that their solve rate, which is significantly higher than the national average, significantly higher than the state average. They do a tremendous job of following through. And again, it's that relationship that they have with the locals, too. Because in these homicide cases, the state police work them, but they also need the detectives from the local police departments that work really well with them. So that's an important part of the successes of those types of investigations.
We're speaking with Chris Markey. Of course, he's currently a state representative representing part of New Bedford, all of the town of Dartmouth, and he's a candidate to be the district attorney. How's the campaign trail going, Chris?
It's going well. I think we had, you know, incrementally you're doing different things each month, and you have a goal each month to do certain things, and I think in, at least in March, we exceeded our goals. In April, we definitely exceeded our goals. In May, I thought we did a great job, and we're still working on some things. In June, I think we're well above where we were, where we wanted to be.
I went to your event you had out of the Venus de Milo. It reminded me of one of those parties that Paul Walsh used to have, that Mark Montagne used to. I mean, there were over 800 people there, all of them high-quality people, a lot of people from the towns, which traditionally are Republican strongholds in Bristol County. But yet they all seem to be there for you, Chris Markey, the Democrat.
Well, I think when you look at this job, I don't think it's about Democrat or Republican. It's about professionalism.
Right.
It's about experience. I really think that. I think when you look at it, and again, you fall into the last 24 hours here, or 48 hours now, you got to be ready to do that stuff, and you got to be able to think it through and have people around you who know how to do those things. So I think that that's the most important thing. So I think the best part about that event was seeing people I used to work with.
Yes.
Who, you know, that was 20 years ago. But I kind of grew up in that office. I was 23 when I started. I spent 16 years there.
Right.
Did everything under the sun. Learned how to build a case. Learned what it's like to be a victim witness person. Have a relationship with the victims and the witnesses, and making sure they trust us. All of those things that, is really, really important. And I think that those are the things that people saw in me, and I think I'd like to think that they see in me now, with that idea of that professionalism, wanting to do the right thing for the right reasons.
We have Representative Chris Markey. Of course, we're broadcasting live from Whites of Westport for a celebration of seniors put on by District Attorney Tom Quinn here. He's had a lot of great speakers, including the Attorney General. So the question being, you have a functioning, high-functioning District Attorney's office. Should the voters decide to put you in as Tom Quinn is retiring, do you look to keep most of this running machines, running organization in place, or are there changes you want to make? What do you think, Chris?
Tom was one of my biggest mentors.
Yes.
When I was young, I watched him. We had become friends. But with everything, I'm a little bit different. I see things differently. I would do things a little bit different on certain things.
Sure.
And other things, I'd do the same. The one thing I would say,
okay,
so make sure all the listeners know, and at least the people here know, this thing would never change.
You want to keep this going?
This is unbelievable. I was saying that I went into the vendor area, and it's like an adult Halloween.
Right.
Everyone is going around. They got literally bags full of candy,
yes,
goodies, all types of stuff.
It's
and
really good.
They're all even happy. So
right. It's really, really good. Chris, looking into the future, should you be the district attorney, what new crimes, what stuff is developing? And as we saw with the Karen Reed trial, and you were gracious enough to give me a lot of your time to help us understand what was going on with that, help the listeners understand, how do you deal with high-profile cases like that? Because there's only going to be more of that. There's a whole group of now valid citizen journalists out there that can drive the narrative on a case in different directions.
First off, it's the quality of people.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't necessarily seen it down here. It's the quality of the troopers.
Right.
The quality of their leadership, which I think is tremendous. Making sure they're mature and they're not immature. Actually, I spoke with one of the troopers probably 2 months ago.
Okay.
And I said, hey, you guys are having a tough time because of all this Norfolk County stuff. And he goes, quite frankly, we're not. He goes, we're so busy down here. We're busy doing stuff, so we don't have time to goof off and do that.
Right.
So in that respect, it's we joked about it a little bit, but at the same token, is it means a lot that they understand that. But I think there is this thing about the journalism that's getting done now, and I do have concerns about the way that kind of developed.
Sure.
I don't think witnesses need to have cameras in their faces when
right.
they're going to their kid's soccer event or the
right.
kid's lacrosse event. there's a time and a place, and that's why trials are public, and you get to cross-examine witnesses, and you can do those things.
Right.
And the idea of making it into a story for the purposes of promoting yourself is really not a good thing to do. It's not healthy for the system. But the new, you talked about the crimes, is really the, one of the big ones is elderly fraud.
Yes, talk about
telephone
that.
Telephone calls, AI being used to simulate people's voices, asking for help, telling them to go to Bitcoin machines, deposit right. large amounts of cash.
I think about how many recordings of my voice are out there and what someone could do with my voice. Fortunately, nobody cares enough about me to actually be commit fraud. If someone used my voice that said, help, I'm being held hostage, they would say, we'll keep them.
I don't disagree with that.
Yes, yes. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. More from Whites of Westport, Celebration of Seniors, District Attorney Tom Quinn's event. Come on down.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
And welcome back. We're live here at Whites of Westport broadcasting with the district attorney candidate, Chris Markey. He's currently a state representative. Of course, for years, he was in the district attorney's office prosecuting cases. And Chris, you prosecuted a really interesting case, tragic, but the stabbing that took place in Dartmouth High School.
Let's...
Yeah, you correct me if I'm wrong. Go ahead.
So Tom actually did it. And I was just sworn in, and it was a pretty big case. I was a victim witness advocate before, so I know how to organize stuff and make sure we had everything. So I was called the second seat on the case.
Okay.
So, but I... Again, it's just another... It's one of those things in my career where I think I had baby steps to get to where I could handle my own murder cases, right. handle my own investigations and do that. The other case, which I think more is the, that helped me more understand is the 12-week, fourth retrial of James Cater out of Raynham.
And that Freetown was a case. Freetown murder.
Yep. That was the case where, you know, it was 12 weeks long. I helped with that. I was a district court ADA, got called up to help. I was one of the three lawyers. On that case, I did get to do one witness. I sat for like 9 weeks, didn't say anything. The defense started. I had interviewed the witness, and none of the other guys had really known what the witness was going to say, so they go, oh, you do it. And the defense lawyer asks a question that's leading, which you can object to, so I stand up, I object. Now, I've been there for 9 weeks. The right. jurors sit there. They see me stand up and object, and they literally laugh out loud. And the judge starts to laugh, and then I got to at least cross-examine the witness and do that. And it was great. It was a great experience. But I worked with some incredibly talented lawyers, got to see them every day in court, and really live a case for 12 weeks. So it was great.
Chris, you bring up the Cater case. I followed that case really my whole life because it happened when I was a little kid in Freetown, the kidnapping of Mary Lou Arruda. The one thing I know about that case, and it's with a lot of these murder cases, they never almost really end. In other words, I'm witnessing Tim Cruise having to go to court about a case in Rochester where the guy's up for parole.
McCray, right?
Yeah, yeah. The district attorney's job extends beyond the courtroom to the parole board and that type of environment. Talk about that.
So it's really interesting. I want to say in 2011 or 12, there was a Supreme Court case out of Alabama that said, and this is a United States Supreme Court case that said that juveniles could never be sentenced to life without parole. And it was a violation of the Eighth Amendment. And so in 2014, I think it was, I was vice chair of judiciary and the chair had left, so I was kind of de facto when we wrote up a law on juvenile life without parole, because the court made decisions that, well, if you committed a crime, you're eligible for parole in 15 years. And we said that's outrageous.
Right.
For a first degree murder, even a juvenile, it's, 15 years. And then in our thought process, it was, we'll hire someone, a kid, to do it.
In other words, if you're a murderer, you want to murder somebody, you'll just hire a kid to do
it. If the way the court, that court ruled was, okay, you can get 15 years. I mean, I'm not saying, but it's like chump change for the end result.
Right.
It's horrible. It's not justice. So we changed it to have an incremental period of time for juveniles. I think it's 20 years of parole eligibility, 25 years, then 30 years, depending on the theory of the first degree murder. This, in the last couple of years, the Supreme Judicial Court, I think, wrongfully created this emerging adults idea between 18 and 21, and said that if you committed a murder by that and that, you fall into the same category as the juveniles. So they'll be now parole eligible in 20 years, 25 years, and 30. I filed a bill to actually have it go from, instead of 20, 25, 30, it would be 25, 30, 35. These aren't juveniles, these are adults.
Right.
And I think they should get a little bit more. Unfortunately, I can't convince everybody of that. There's not an appetite up there for that. It's a little bit frustrating for some of the things that I've been trying to do. But I do think that the McRae case falls into that category where the kid, I think he burned the house down, I think,
I
right?
So.
Or killed everybody.
He killed everybody,
in the house and then burned it, I think.
Yes.
And then I think he was found in Mattapoisett, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
That kid's now up for parole because of the creation, really, of this sentence of emerging adults. And I think that it's inappropriate. I think that, the legislature, according to the Constitution, it's the legislature's responsibility to set the penalties. And we should be doing that. I think the community standard would agree with me that it should be greater than a juvenile sentence.
Yes.
But maybe less than a true adult, if you want to believe in this emerging adult theory.
I mean, you've got to, in your offices, got to follow all these, keep all these offices, even though you didn't deal with them. I'm thinking of a case in Fairhaven where a guy just before his 21st birthday killed his girlfriend and then killed his child, drove the knife through the child so hard into the, they had to move the mattress. Fairhaven police had to take the mattress out along with the corpse of the young child. And he's up potentially for parole.
Yeah.
Cases like that that is so mind-boggling, but in this current America, somehow we'll potentially let those people out. You're going to be on the front lines of that.
I don't know how much, and some of these brutal murder cases, I don't think there's an appetite. Again, You got to understand the parole board, too. For a life sentence, it's the entire parole board. For a district court sentence, a house of correction sentence, it's usually just one parole board member. For a state prison sentence, it's three, and only two out of the three. And that's what happened with Tyler Brown. There were two people who... That's the gentleman in Cambridge who was shooting down the street who clearly has some mental illness issues or something. They let him out. And he got a gift for a sentence, and the only two members of the parole board, voted for that. It wasn't the entire parole board. So having an understanding and comprehending that's really important to understand is how to deal with the parole board on those things.
508-996-0500. Chris, I really appreciate you. You're coming over and talking to us here. I know you were just here as a guest of the district attorney here at the celebration of seniors at Whites of Westport. A lot of great tables here, a lot of great giveaways. The speakers seem to have wrapped up. Producer Matt and I are here, and I want to point out to you that this hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in the city of New Bedford. I also recommend the onion rings. Rose Alley Ale House, downtown New Bedford. Beautiful day to sit on the deck. Chris, how do people get involved in your campaign if they'd like to?
You can jump on the Chris Markey DA website, chrismarkeyda.com. There's a phone number. There's an email. There's a volunteer page. Sign up. Give us your information. What we'd like to try to do is get some bumper stickers on cars in the next few weeks and see what happens. I also want to point out Carol Fiola, a rep from Fall River, has been here.
Oh.
Alan Sylvia is a rep from Fall River,
good
who's
Marine.
Here as well. So
Alan Sylvia, Vietnam veteran, Marine. I didn't see them.
Yeah, they're here.
we could get them to come on over. Producer Matt is just over here stuffing his face, with rather lean face, with a free breakfast and not getting any of these guests to come over. I blame somebody else other than me. Chris, again, we really appreciate it. Your campaign, from what I saw the other night, and I'm not really involved, but what I saw the other night, it's been just a really fun campaign so far. Maybe not for you, but yeah, for all your people around you.
When I first ran for state rep, it's an awkward thing. You're asking people for stuff. And I've always tried to be the person you could ask to get stuff done. So you're asking during a campaign for everyone's help in doing those things. And the thing that I really enjoyed about the campaign was you learn something. Like, I learned a ton about farming when I first ran. I learned a ton about...
You don't own a pitchfork.
Yes, I do not. And a bunch of other stuff, like the offshore wind was obviously important. Fishing industry was really important. And then also some infrastructure issues and transportation issues.
Right.
So all those things I got to learn, and I was 43, kind of like, you know, I don't want to say mid-age, but maybe I am, but back then. But it's not many people get that chance to learn that much. And I think the campaign gives me an opportunity now to learn more about the impacts of the criminal justice system on both sides and have an appreciation for it. Then also, I think one of the things that clearly is happening is trying to build better relationships with the police. I think that they have been the brunt of a lot of people's anguish.
Yes.
And I don't think it's fairly distributed. And I think these cameras are a problem that people walk around with on their phones. I'm grateful that there's cameras now on police officers.
You like the body cameras.
As a prosecutor, I love them.
Sure.
As a defense attorney.
Most cops like them too, because they generally don't do things wrong.
I am utterly impressed with every body-worn camera I've ever seen.
Okay.
And it doesn't help me as a defense attorney.
Right.
So I think that they're really important. I think they're going to build back the trust that some people don't have of the police, which I think is truly, truly important.
Yes.
And again, having a lot of integrity in the investigations, making sure that they're done ethically, that's an important part of it. And what I would love to be able to do is highlight those things and the incredible effort of the police officers that they do in these cases. I'm sure the guys who are involved in the two cases, one out of New Bedford, one out of Fall River, they probably slept 3 hours in the last 48 hours. They probably slept 3 or 4 hours, and that's it. So they're always working. They get taken away from their families, and it's not easy. And then the assistant DA is the same thing. I mean, you get called out to a homicide, you're basically dust for 48 hours.
Jumping into the future, assuming you're the district attorney, what do you look for in a brand new assistant district attorney? What do you look for?
Hungry.
Hungry?
Hungry to learn. Hungry to be someone that the community can look up to.
Okay.
Hungry to want to help. I think that it's the greatest responsibility or the greatest job you could ever have if you wanted to do public service and be an attorney. There's no better job than to do this, to be able to stand up and represent someone in front of a courthouse or in a courtroom, to make sure that they get justice. And I think being that person that they rely on is incredibly rewarding. And I think of a lot of stories and the people I got to help because of that. It's pretty awesome. And so I would say, without a doubt, hungry, we can teach you up.
Right. Chris Markey, candidate for district attorney. I live in Bristol County. Most of my listeners, we got a lot on the Cape and Islands as well, though, live in Bristol County. In a quick sentence, why would we want you to be our district attorney?
I think experience. I think the experiences I've had on both sides of the bar have given me a great perspective of things. And as I said before, I'd say the one statement that would kind of sum it up is, if your child was the victim of a crime, you'd want me to be the DA. And if your child was ever accused of a crime, you'd want me to be the DA. And the reason why is because I'm going to do the right thing for the right reason. And the reason why I can do that and say that confidently is because I have a ton of experience that has been given to me by so many different people and so many opportunities that I have been given and I've been blessed with. And I think that is the gift that has been given to me.
Chris, I really appreciate you spending time with us this morning. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with live from Whites of Westport, Celebration of Seniors, put on by District Attorney Tom Quinn. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more care.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We're broadcasting live from Whites of Westport for a celebration of seniors, courtesy of our district attorney, Tom Quinn, in Coastline Elderly Services. What a great presentation. What a great breakfast this has been. And now the man of the hour is sitting down. My pleasure to greet District Attorney Tom Quinn. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing? You don't probably need those. No, you don't need them.
Fine. Great to see you.
Nice to see you. What another great celebration of seniors here.
Well, yeah, it's a great event. It's been going on now for most of my time as DA. COVID, a couple of years we didn't do it because of COVID. But, yeah, it's great to see all the seniors here. That's been one of the priorities of my tenure as DA, is to focus on our seniors, to try to protect them, as I indicated, through education and prosecution. There's so many scam artists out there, you can't even comprehend it.
Right.
They prey on vulnerable people, so hopefully they've gotten the message. But I think just them knowing that people were concerned for them, trying to do something for them, it means a lot. People coming up to me appreciative of that, that means a lot to me.
Oh, it's tremendous. Tom, from time to time, we get people at the radio station who'll call in, and we know, right, to send them to your office, because you got the infrastructure to handle their cases, and it's nothing you haven't seen before.
No. Certainly everybody wants to protect their seniors, but I've tried to not just talk about it, but do it. We have a special unit. We're responsive to the matters that we become aware of, and I think that's been one of the hallmarks of my administration. And, you know, again, it is easier to talk about these things, but I think we've followed up and done it for our seniors.
We have Tom Quinn, the district attorney. Of course, he's putting on this event here at Whites of Westport. We had a huge crowd here, and they're still here. Two rooms filled up. Really, really a great event. Tom, obviously, you've had the opportunity to be in the news the last couple of days. Only a couple of weeks between whenever I see you on television, to be honest with you. You have a very busy office. Terrible news that comes across your desk, and you never know where it's going to come from. I recognize there's not a lot you can say about some of these cases, but help us out with a young child who was crushed, looks like, by a landscaping truck on a tricycle in the Sasquan area of New Bedford. You're a dad. You're an uncle. Tragic, right? Tragic.
This is a terrible circumstances. I think that's everybody's nightmare. Certainly anybody losing their life, but a young child, 4 years old, you know, trying to enjoy themselves. So it's just difficult to comprehend, especially for the family. I can only imagine what they're going through. It's probably difficult to get any consolation from this, to losing somebody in such a tragic way. But unfortunately, these things do occur, and I think in this case, the best thing to do is support the family and pray for them, and through prayers, hopefully they can get through this as best they can.
Tom, your Catholic faith is very big in your life. I know that. Talk about how that helps you be the district attorney and deal with these events.
Well, faith is important to me. I know I'm nothing without it. We're all, you know, weak and need divine assistance, and I believe that because I think, you know, I try to rely on the faith to make the decisions you have to make, to try to respond appropriately. I mean, you're dealing, as you said, with these terrible tragedies. You got this barbaric incident in Fall River.
Yes.
Double homicide, brutality I've never seen before, like, you know, the medieval times. So I try to rely on the faith for guidance to sort of check, you know, there's a lot of frustration and issues that are going on. You want to maybe check some reactions you have and try to do what is the best for the circumstance. Try to be respectful of people and their dignity.
Yes.
That I've always tried to do. Because you're in a volatile, confrontational area with tragedy, and people often, you know, difficult circumstances to get people to cooperate. But it's been very important to me, and I know I'm nothing without it.
We have Tom Quinn here. Of course, we're at a celebration of seniors here at Whites of Westport. Tom, you and I have talked about this before. There is evil in the world, and you just saw it in our city of Fall River.
Yes. I have seen a lot in my career. You know, children being killed, innocent people being killed, children being raped. That incident the other night, and then obviously it's a pending case, but I haven't quite seen the violence. What I would really say is barbarism that right. was committed, that involves a pitchfork being put into somebody's head, stabbed with a pitchfork, the back of the head. Appears that another individual was beaten with a cobblestone beyond recognition. Just a senseless violence that really, in this case, is kind of beyond comprehension.
Right.
But so those are the things you deal with. I mean, again, I've seen a lot. I don't recall seeing anything this bad or brutal, but the defendant's been charged. The case will go through the process, you know, of the criminal justice system. But at times, it is disheartening to see the violence that is inflicted.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the exotic weapon. In all your experience, have you ever seen a pitchfork used in a crime?
No.
No, right?
Somebody said, was there a barn there?
Right, that's my question.
Well, what's come? I think there was a shed on the property, but I don't okay. I mean, it's in Fall River. It wasn't anything to do with a farm.
Okay. You don't know yet, probably, but did they bring the pitchfork to the crime scene, or was it a crime of, you know, weapon on site type of thing? Do you know?
That's unclear.
Okay.
That's unclear at this point. It may have been on the site, but you had two people who were murdered. The facts were laid out, but there was a shooting in a car, and then later more violence was inflicted on a sidewalk, and then someone ran into a driveway. So it's, again, really a scene and violence that I've never seen before. Really barbaric.
Right. No, coming from your lips and all the experience you've had, both as an assistant district attorney before you became the district attorney,
yes.
I mean, that is quite a statement.
It is, but I mean, I don't know what to say other than, you know, when you're at the scene and you see a pitchfork in the back of someone's head, neck area, I've never seen or heard of that before. Obviously, right. there's been many gruesome and violent incidents, but the nature of this was above and beyond what I've seen in my career.
Tom, you know, I mean, it's...
Not that anything is justified, but, you know, some circumstances in life, people defend themselves and things get out of control. But it's really jarring and disheartening to see this type of violence and the violence that does go on in our communities. Not that it's new. It has happened. But
right.
This is something I haven't seen before.
Tom, I do appreciate everything you've done as our district attorney. Hopefully before your term is up, we'll get you in again for
yes.
a long-form interview. But this is such a great event you do. I would hope your predecessors, whoever they are, continue doing this because it's what a beautiful legacy, Tom.
Well, it is a nice legacy, and people very, very kind with their words today. I've interacted with the seniors. I think I set this out as a priority to protect seniors, make them a priority for all they've done for us. Their values, we're seeing less of that now.
Yes.
The boundaries of behavior are getting out of control. So I think they were entitled to it. You know, we've done our best to prevent crimes from being committed against them and also prosecute them. So I think it's been very successful. I don't think I've just talked about it. Whoever my predecessor is would be extremely foolish not to continue this event.
Right. I agree with you. Tom, thank you so much for everything you've done for us.
I appreciate that. It's been my honor to serve as a district attorney. Look forward to ending the term on a good note. I'd be happy to come and talk to you at length in the future.
Thank you, Tom Quinn. Take a break. We'll be